Yeah, it's good to have you. Hey, let's welcome everybody joining us online, especially all of our Marines and our military deployed or PCS. Welcome to church online. Good to have you. Well, we are continuing this weekend in our teaching series that's called Experiencing God. It's based on the historic work by Henry Blackaby and Claude King, a book that came out about 25 years ago that really impacted my life. And this is our third week in this series. And so if you have missed any of the weeks before this, I encourage you, you can go online or our YouTube channel or Facebook channel or whatever that thing is. You can go on the line, right? And you can get caught up in what God's been teaching here at Catalyst Church. But I love this series as we just really work to discover what it means to know and to do the will of God. Like what it means to know how to experience God's presence in our daily life. And over the past few weeks, we're looking at the seven realities of experiencing God. We introduced it last week with reality number one. If you remember, this is what we talked about. Experiencing God, reality number one is this, that God is always at work in and around my life. Now just think about that again, that God is always at work in my life, every moment of every single day. And the Bible says he's working all things out in accordance with his will, and he is inviting you and I to join him in that work. And so every day of our life, we have hundreds of opportunities, thousands of opportunities to see God at work and to join him there. And I got to tell you, God's not interested in joining your dream or your plan for your life. He wants to invite you to join his dream and his plan for your life. And when you join him and you work with God in your life to accomplish his will, I tell you, you are really trading in your life for something that is immeasurably more. Well, reality number two is what we want to look at today. The second reality of experiencing God is that God pursues a real and a personal love relationship with me. Would you just grab your teaching guide and write that down today? That God is pursuing every day of my life. God is wanting me to experience him by this. He is pursuing a real and personal love relationship with me. The God of creation, the God of the universe, wants a real and personal relationship with you. Now, in order to understand your life purpose, in order to understand God's will for your life or God's calling on your life, you have to understand it starts with a relationship. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. The Bible says, and so we know and we rely on the love that God has for us. We know it, we rely on the love that God has for us. Let's say the next three words with me, that God is what? Say it again, God is love. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. The Bible says that God loves us, that God is love. God doesn't just have love, God doesn't just possess love, God doesn't just show love, but that God is love. In his very nature, in his very character, he is love. There would be no love in the universe if it weren't for the fact that God is love. And that God created you in his image to receive that love and to reflect that love. Now, I understand the word love has been pretty hijacked in our postmodern culture today, in our world. And it's been twisted and perverted, and so often it really is more about self-affirmation. And we kind of look at the love of God. Well, God is love, which means that enables me to just be me. But it's not an enabling love. The love of God is a transformative love. It's not a God loves me, you know, the way I am, so celebrate me. It's that God loves me where I am, and his love is changing me. His love is transforming me. You are created to be loved by God and to be transformed by his love. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 3 and read on from there. Ephesians 1:3, the Bible says in verse 3, it says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. How many of you know every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, all right? Every good thing you have in life, that's a gift from God. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm because we are united with Christ. Verse 4, even before he made the world, God what? God loved us. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. So I'm going to stop right there. I want you to see what it said. Before God created a single thing in the cosmos, he had already planned you to love you. He created the universe in order to create the earth. He created the earth in order to create the human race. He created the human race so the Bible says he could fearfully and wonderfully knit you together in your mother's womb. He knitted you together in your mother's womb so that he could love you. Your life is purposed by God. Amen? Look at the person next to you and say, you're on purpose. All right? You're like, no, I was an accident. No, you weren't. You might have been an uh-oh, but you weren't no accident. You were made on purpose, and the purpose of your life is to be loved by God. Listen, if God didn't want to love you, none of this would be here today. The world would not have even been created if God's purpose was not to love you. Let's look back at verse 4 again. He says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own, what church? Family, by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. I love this. And it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace that he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. I want you to write this down. The first purpose in my life, of my life, is simply to be loved by God. It's to be loved by God. Think about that. The first purpose of your life isn't to do something, but to receive something. It's a revolutionary reality. The first order of your life isn't to do something, to learn something, to listen to something, to give something, to sacrifice something, to serve something. All of those things are good things. Matter of fact, they're great things. They are means to the end, but they are not the end. It's not the most important thing. They're not the first thing. The first thing that you were created to do by God is to let God love you. We said a few weeks ago when we started this series that experiencing God doesn't start with a religion, it starts with a relationship. That's what God wants to have with you, a relationship. This is so fundamental. This is life-changing when you really get this. The number one calling of your life isn't to a role or to a responsibility or to a set of rules or regulations. God has not invited you to a religion. He's invited you to a relationship. And so many people in the world today, they try to lump Christianity in with just world religions, but Christianity is not a religion. People try to make it a religion. It's not a religion because of this. Jesus Christ did not come into this world to start a religion. He came into this world to birth a family. He came to create a family. He came to bring you into relationship with himself. Every disciple of Jesus, they were struggling. The early disciples were struggling with this idea of a relationship with God. And like they were talking to Jesus one day, and they're like, Jesus, how do you talk to God? Like, how do you approach God? How do you do it? And Jesus is like, well, it's like this. You say, our Father in heaven. He didn't say my Father. He said, our Father. And that word father in the Aramaic is the word Abba, and it's daddy. It's not even like father. It's, you know, like our Father in heaven. No, it's like, dad, we need to talk. It's a relationship. Do you realize that God doesn't treat you like a slave or a servant? And God doesn't want you to relate to him as a worker or as an employee, but that God wants a relationship with you as his son or as his daughter, and he is a perfect father. Now listen, I don't know about you, but I understand this about families. Families are dysfunctional. How many of you are in a dysfunctional family? Some of you were really quick with that hand, all right? All right, you're like, yes. Like, listen, you know what? The church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, the family of God, guess what? We're pretty dysfunctional. But we have a Father in heaven who is not. Some of you might have been raised and you had a distant dad. You had a difficult dad. I had a little girl come up to me after the last service. It just broke my heart. Her prayer during the prayer time was, "I'm losing trust and faith in my dad." Little girl, come down. "I'm losing faith in my dad." So how many of you know that we might have struggles in this world, but God is a perfect father who loves us with a perfect love. Amen? He loves us perfectly. He created you to be the object of his affection. He created you and chose you before the foundations of the world. He saved you and forgave you. He adopted you into his family. The Bible says, and it gave him the greatest pleasure to do so. Why? Because he loved you. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. I want you to read this verse out loud, all right? All right? 1 John 3, 1 says this. It says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." You get that? You need to underline that in your Bible. You need to bring a highlighter. You need to highlight that, all right? That's like a life verse. That is what we are. This is who we are. This is our identity. And let me just warn you, if you try to find your identity in anything or anyone else other than in the God who created you and loved you, you're going to be so frustrated in your life. You're going to be so disappointed and stressed out in your life, because the number one purpose of your life was not to accomplish something. The first purpose of your life is not to make something of yourself or reach some determined level of success. It's this, that we have been created and we have been called and we are called to experience and to be filled with the love of God, to be shaped by the love of God, to be defined by the love of God, to find our identity and our purpose and our calling in life in the love of God. Henry Blackaby says this love relationship with God is more important than any other single factor in your life, that God loves you. There's nothing greater, there's nothing deeper than that theological truth right there, that God loves you. Some of you are like, "I've heard that before. You know, I know God loves me and my mama loves me, all right? But I still got to get up. I still got to go do my thing." But do you realize that that is the deepest theological truth that I could ever teach you? And that is, God loves you. God loves you. That should blow our mind. And listen, if that doesn't move our hearts, then we don't get it. We don't get it. We've lost track of it. That God could love a sinner like me, that God could love a sinner like you, and that he actually, it's his great pleasure to choose you and to bring you into his family and to call you son or daughter. We are to find our identity in the love of God. Listen, God loves you on your good days and bad days. Did you know that? God loves you. God loves you when you can feel it, and God loves you when you can't feel it. God loves you when you think you deserve it and when you finally realize that you don't deserve it at all. And it's because of this. God's love is not based on who you are or what you have done. It is based on who he is and what Jesus has done. Amen? God is love. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let's take a look at that. I love this. It says, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources that he would empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. And your roots will grow down deep into the soil of what? God's love, and keep you strong. Listen, we are to be rooted in the love of God. He says, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, just how wide and how high and how deep and how deep his love for you really is. He says, may you experience the love of Christ. He doesn't want this to just be in your head. He wants it to be in your heart. He wants it to be something that transforms you, something that you root your life into. I think so many people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. Because they've got this idea in their head. They've just never surrendered its reality to their heart. And you and I, we are to know this. We are to be defined by this. He says, I want you to feel it. I want you to get it in your bones. I want you to get it in your life. I want you to experience the love of God. And he goes on to say, though it is too great to fully understand. He says, then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. That's what it says, how wide and how long and how high and how deep God's love for you is. How wide is it? It's wide enough to be everywhere. Do you realize that there's no place where God's love ends? There's no expiration date. There's no road closures on the pathway of God's love. It's wide enough to be everywhere. Everywhere you are, the love of God is there. It's long enough. It's long enough to last forever. The love of God in your life never runs out. The Bible says, what can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Can famine or sword or persecution or difficulty, like can anything separate me from the love of God? And the Bible answers, no, certainly not. Certainly not. It is long enough to last forever. I love this. How deep is the love of God? It's deep enough to handle anything that I might face, no matter what challenges that you might be going through right now. No matter what hardships that you might be facing or pain that you might be experiencing, I promise you this, God's love is greater than your fear. God's love is greater than your anxiety. God's love is greater than your worry. God's love is greater than your failures. God's love is greater and deeper than anything that you might be going through today. It's a love that you can lean on. It's a love that will hold you up whenever you are weak. He says, it's deep enough. It's deep enough to handle anything that I might face, but it's high enough to cover my sins. Again, because God's love for you is not based upon what you have done, but on what Jesus Christ has done for you. And Jesus Christ lived a perfectly sinless life, died on the cross for your sinfulness, gave his life as a way to cover your sins. And so today, you can be chosen today. You can be forgiven. You can be saved. You can be confident when you surrender your life in faith to Jesus Christ. That God's grace is greater than my sin. That God's love is greater than my temptation. That God's power is greater than anything that might try to hold me down or any addiction that you might be struggling with. That God's love is transformative. Before the world was even created, before anything existed, God dreamed you up. He planned and purposed your life, and he already decided to love you. Before you did anything right, and before you did anything wrong, he had already made the commitment to love you. And God has been waiting for some of you for your entire life to be able to get you into this place in the stillness and the quietness of this moment for you to hear these words and to experience it for your life. And it's this, that God loves you more than you can ever imagine. God loves you more than you can ever imagine. And he proved the extent to which he was willing to go to love you. And that was at the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, the world tries to convince you that you're someone and something other than who God says that you are. It tries to tell you that you're broken. It tries to tell you that you're damaged or that you're this or that you're that. But the God of the universe says, no, 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 no. You don't listen to that. What you need to understand, this is who you are. You are a son. You're a daughter. You are chosen. You are purposed. You are loved. And I am your heavenly Father. So listen, in view of this incredible love that we have from God, like what should our response be? Like how do you respond to this kind of a love? I love Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, but I want to read it today out of the Amplified Version. And this is what it says. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, I beg of you that in view of all the mercies of God, of all that God has done, make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, well-pleasing to God. He says, this is your reasonable, rational, and intelligent act of service and spiritual worship. You know what he's saying? It's like, in view of what God has done for you, it is rational and intelligent to be able to come back to God and say, God, I give you everything. I give you everything. I give you all that I am and all that I have. What does God want from your life? If you ever wonder that, like, God, what do you want from me? God's like, I want everything. I want your everything. God wants me to love him with all of my being. He wants me to love him with everything that I have. The memory verse for this week is Matthew 22:37, where Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. Like, how do you love God? God, I love you with everything. I love you with all that I have. Listen, that's a great verse. But have you ever said that verse or read that verse and ever asked yourself the question, do I really? Like, God, you call me to love you with all of my mind and all of my heart. God, I know that should be the intention of my heart. That should be the direction of my life.